Good morning, church. It's a delight once again to be here and minister at Capital Baptist Church. And what a thrill it is this Sunday to actually hear about Pastor Steve and we as a church reproducing ourselves there in Mexico City. One of the things we realize is that good work will always be hard work. And I think to see the fruit of your labor, particularly for Steve and Debbie Poston, to see a national takeover, that must be very rewarding. If you're a missionary, or actually if you're any kind of a worker for God, you're actually working yourself out of a job. I know this doesn't sound good this morning, but actually you are working yourself out of a job. If you are a trainer, our goal is to see others do things bigger and better than we could ever do in our lifetime. That's what parents desire for our children, don't we? That's what we ought to desire for God's children. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel and chapter 1. We're looking at this whole aspect of taking God to work, moving from just being a necessity to becoming a passion where we can give ourselves wholly to the work of the Lord. I just want to read maybe two or three verses. You know the context that Daniel and his three friends are actually taken captive and taken into a place called Babylon. This is 586 when the southern kingdom was also taken along with the northern kingdom, which was in 722, and they are in a foreign land. The challenge for them is twofold. In a foreign land, will they prove God is faithful? And so Daniel, one of the themes of Daniel is God's sovereignty over time. His purposes will unfold. So a lot of Daniel is apocalyptic or visionary, where God is still reigning in spite of all the nations. And so will you show or prove God's faithfulness in your life? But the second challenge in Daniel is not only to prove God is faithful, but be faithful yourself to the faith in the foreign land. I think is a big challenge. America, they say, is a nation of immigrants. So there's a sense in which all of us come to this place, land of an opportunity. But I think work is very, very important. I want to start by saying one of my deepest concerns for Americans is the culture of entitlement, where we feel everybody owes us something and how much I can get for the least I can do. That is not a good work ethic. And Daniel can inform us and inspire us today in this great God-ordained work opportunity. For those of you us who think that, hey, you know what, heaven, I'll be relieved of all my work and I'll be floating on cloud 9 playing a harp, you're in for a surprise, because heaven is going to be work also, like the Garden of Eden. Anyway, let me read a few verses and then move into the text. Daniel chapter 1, let me start by that famous verse, verse 11. Well, maybe I'll look at, first of all, verse 8. You see there in a foreign land, and this verse, which is very familiar, is a verse of contrast compared to everybody else. Daniel set himself apart. He said, but Daniel purposed in his heart. This resolve or determination is where it all begins, in the heart, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, I want to read, if you move down that passage, to verse 12. In verse 12, he says, please test your servants 10 days and let them give vegetables to eat and drink. And then let our appearance be examined before you. Check us out. Check what's happening with what we are doing in terms of how we stand. Now, if you flip the page over to chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5, I want to read verse 12 to 14. This is where I think this spirit of excellence is drawn out and clearly highlighted. Now, in chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, and as much as, here's the word, an excellent spirit knowledge, understanding, interpretation of dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. This is the witness of a eunuch about Daniel. Can people say that of us? Now, what happened? So Daniel, verse 13, was brought before the king. Notice, while Daniel is doing this in front of a pagan king, we are always in the sight of the King of Kings, isn't it? And notice what happens. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of those captive from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you." Wow. His reputation had gone before him. But we're going to see, reputation is something people can ruin, but character is something only you can destroy. And how work is related to character in a minute. So he says, "I've heard of you." Heard what? "That the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding," and here we go, "excellence, wisdom are found in you." A few thoughts, and if you're following the slides, let me go quickly into this presentation. When we think about Daniel, you think immediately of hard work, but also you think in terms of government work. If you come to India, the town I grew up in, the British left and they built this huge capital building, and at the top of it, it says, "Government work is God's work." I used to smile when I drove past that, because this building was full of corruption. I mean, it's unbelievable the bribes they took every day. You just go in that building basically to, you know, pad these offices, and unless you pay, you don't get anything. Some of us are very privileged in America. Of course, bribery comes in the word of incentives, and there's a lot of things happening in places here too. It's not that. But in some countries, it's pretty obvious. So I used to smile and think, government work is God's work? You're kidding me. Because of corruption. But I want to say that in this context, when Daniel is there in Babylon working for the king, there is more than just hard work in a corrupt situation. I think there is a sense in which there is this work that Daniel had to do in between people, with people. And it is in this context where I think the theme, you got to influence people. If you're with people at work, you can be an influence. And I also want to tell you, it's not as simple as winning friends and influencing people. Often if you try to influence people for God, you don't win, you lose friends. In that sense. And you see that challenge happening here. So Daniel was in a government situation. He's working very hard. In this section, we see at the bottom of our notes that this was, you've got to be excellent. And then you'll become known for excellent. And you'll never lack work. I think between the being excellent and being known as excellent, you have to actually perform. You have to do something. So work is a verb. It's not just a noun. It's something you and I do. We engage in. It's where we take responsibility and step up. And only when you step up to something and stand up for God, you will stand out or be outstanding in your work. So let's go through this outline. First and foremost, we want to look at a rationale for work. Why should we maintain excellence in work? I want to give you my definition. For excellence, very simply, for me, excellence is outdoing yourself. Excellence is outdoing yourself. Now, for me, this is very helpful because often I live in a competitive world. I grew up in a country where if you didn't get a certain amount of grades in your high school, you wouldn't go to college. There was tremendous pressure in places like India and China. People commit suicide during exam weeks because they just can't face their parents in a shame honor culture. They just give up on life. They commit suicide. Such pressure in order to perform is all over there. I find it very difficult. I teach about 700, sometimes 1,000 students a day at Liberty University. And some of the students are just nonchalant, you know, just sit down there, kind of impress me if you can. And I feel so bad because we have a goddess, Saraswati, which is the goddess for education. People worship education in some countries. It's hard work. I remember my daughter got a phone call, and someone asked her, what does your dad do? So she says, I don't know what he does. She was a little kid at that time. And they said, well, what is his job? He says, I think he's some kind of professor. So he says, but yeah, I know, but what does he do? What is he paid for? And my daughter replied, he just gets paid for thinking. I wish, you know. So, I mean, a lot of times we don't see hard work. It's the clean four-letter word that often gets us dirty. And in, I'm sure, generations, we looked at work in terms of getting our hands and legs dirty. Whatever it is, it's hard work. But here's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about excellence. For me, the word excellence means you go above and beyond the call of duty. I'm glad we prayed for our veterans today, because I think you emulate in warfare what it means to take the hill, to go above and beyond, just not just call of duty, I'm here. You take that step to be excellent. So excellence is not only about outdoing yourself, it is going above and beyond the call of duty. Those are the people who excel. The word excel in itself has that going beyond to excel the call in duty. So why do we have to do work is a great challenge for us. The opposite of excellence is mediocrity. It's that, you know, just do it, get it done, put it behind you. Have you known people like that? They have such a shoddy attitude, just get it behind you, get over with it. Now, I know there are people who are perfectionists. They don't let go till every dot is crossed, you know, every I is crossed and every T is crossed and every I is dotted. And then you spell the word wrong. But the important thing is the question of mediocrity is so common among complacent Christians. And this is why it affects our witness. What we're going to see here is not only why we need to work, but how we need to get the job done. So, two reasons why we need to work. First of all, as unto the Lord. I like the fact that we start with a vertical look. Many of us work so that we can please people. We can impress our bosses. We can get a good word and get promoted. But here in Daniel's example, Daniel first and foremost had a vertical look. Joseph was also there. God's hand was upon him. He says, how can I do this or not do this and sin against God? God was where they first looked. Our upward look should be Godward and outward. So why do we need to do that? Because God is the one who gives us the gift to work, the ability to work, and the stewardship. We're going to give an account to him. Two verses that we put here, one is Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, where God will bring every one of our works into judgment. The word judgment literally means to critique it and assess it and accordingly reward it. That's good to keep in mind, that there is an evaluation for what we're doing. Another passage from the New Testament, and if you have this, if you could turn to 1 Corinthians 3, I like this passage. I could actually speak all morning just on this passage. But think about this. At least four or five times you find the word work in this section. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, which is work, because its work will be revealed by fire, and fire, the work will be tested, you know, one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Very clear understanding. And by the way, this is not for non-Christians, this judgment. This is the Bema, not the great white throne. This is where you and I will stand and give an account for what we did. And that should be a great motivation. Heaven's not just a destination. Heaven is a motivation to do God's work here on earth. So, second reason is not only vertical. God is watching and he will give an account. But it's all horizontal. We need to work because our work is going to influence people. It is vital that our testimony is going to really reflect on whom we serve and whose we are. Please write this down. I remember someone teaching me when I was a young fellow this wonderful saying. It says, your work is you, so don't let yourself down. Let me say that again. Your work is who? You. Your work is you, so don't let yourself down. I think of two passages. Jesus, he was challenged. And in John chapter 8, they wouldn't believe what Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? Listen, You don't want to believe in me? Believe me for my work's sake. Look what I've done. See the miracles. At least believe me because of what I'm doing. The results. Imagine if I could say that. People say, oh, I don't think you're a good director for training. And I'd say, well, maybe you don't believe me. Hey, but look what happened in Vietnam. There's three generations of church planting because of course called DCPI, you know. And you look at that and say, okay, I don't know this guy, Chris Nyanakin, but when I see three generations of church planters in Vietnam, I believe in this guy now. Not because of how he looks or what he's talking about, because of what he's done. Can you say that? I mean, imagine if Jesus could say that. He said, listen, you don't believe me? It's hard for you to believe I'm the Son of God. Well, look what I'm doing. My works attest of who I am. This is very powerful, a witness. And I think it's very important for us to get this perspective on work. Daniel was this case. You study the book, you understand Daniel's ethic. They couldn't find anything wrong in his work. Wow. Except for his relationship with God. What a testimony. I mean, a lot of people in India get in trouble because they start witnessing during work hours. And they say, they get caught and like, what are you doing? Well, I'm sharing the gospel. They say, no, you've been paid to work, not to share the gospel. Let your work be your witness. And then when you find time and break and afterwards, talk to them and spend time. Don't witness on work time. Because the pagan empire is not paying you to be a witness. Let your light shine. That's a good verse. Letting your light shine. Peter also talks about slaves in the Roman Empire. 1 Peter chapter 2, he begins from the household. He says, wives, you don't need to fight with your ungodly pagan husbands. Clothe yourself in humility. The beauty of the inner spirit will be a great witness. So make excellence a habit in your work. Make excellence a habit in your work. We just did celebrate 2 weeks ago 500 years of Reformation. I got to revisit Luther on various levels. I could not believe how much, this may be scary, I shouldn't be saying it, how much Luther was responsible for the Holocaust. I mean, I couldn't put my stuff down, the way he treated Jews. And Hitler actually used Lutheran theology to create the Holocaust. Did you know that? Another thing about Luther, I mean, everybody, I love Luther and Reformation stuff. But you know, Luther didn't like the book of James. Did you know that? Luther called it a straw epistle and said it shouldn't be part of the Bible. Did you know that? Yeah, that's Martin Luther. You know why? He didn't like this whole emphasis on works. Because, of course, sola gratia, I mean, grace was the big theme. So he was against work. So let me ask you, as we've done 500 years of Reformation, what is it? Is it faith plus works or faith minus works that saves us? Pardon? Is it faith plus works or faith minus works that saves? The answer is both are wrong. It's faith that works. You know, works is the product, it's the byproduct of our faith in God's grace. And that's why James says, you show me your faith without your works, which is dead. I'll show you my faith because it works. And I think you need that when you think about excellence. How do you show people your faith? Demonstrate it. Get the job done. Do it well. And even if they don't believe in your God, they believe in what your God is doing in and through you, and maybe they'll want to know more about it. See what I'm saying? I think this is very, very hard. I like Jerry Falwell's statement in Word of Life. He said if it's in Tennessee Temple, I'm going to Word of Life next week. He said in Liberty University, Jerry Falwell said if it's Christian, it should be better. If it's Christian, it should be better. My wife tells me, if you go into a restaurant and you do not tip more than 15%, 15 to 20%, don't tell them you're a Christian. I'm like, Dorothy, you know, she said, I said, you know, she didn't do a good service. She said, doesn't matter. It could be your daughter who's the waitress. You know, your testimony is important. And some waitresses will tell you, Christians go into these restaurants and they're so shabby, they throw food around, they shout at the restaurant waitress, they hardly tip, and then they say, can I give you something good to read about Jesus? Your very work has disqualified your witness. So, how do we do this? Very quickly, we start with character. You know the, how it works. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You keep sowing actions, you reap a what? Habit. And you sow a habit, and something habitual becomes your character. And when you're sowing your character, that's your destiny. That's who you really become. So it all starts in the mind, but it stems from the heart. So first thing, Daniel purposed in his heart. We read that verse. What you really need is excellence in, number one, your character. Again, I mentioned reputation is what people think you are. Character is who God knows you are. Character is who you are in the dark when nobody's looking. Work on that. Reputation's easy. Daniel's character, number one, was pure. Purity. I like this under. He was very sincere. Have you met people who have ulterior motives? And they're doing something, but you know they're doing it because they need a commission, they want to impress somebody, they want to make sure they're hiding up something else. There is not things that are sincere. A word that I love is, along with truth, is transparency. The word integrity is transparent. Paul said, my life is like a book that's open. Anybody can read it. This is very interesting. And, you know, it really counts, when you have your life in a hidden book. But what if your life is open? Anyone can read it. Purity, the word sincere, literally without wax. Now, the second way in which you demonstrate your work is through your skills, your activities. And I read that passage where Daniel's excellent spirit resulted in his reputation that this eunuch, the head of the eunuch's chief guy, could recommend him to the king. And the king says, I've heard about this. Because I not only know about you, they tell me what you've done. And I can see that you have good work. Now, can I have a word with you? Can I see you? Wow. You see, your good work will promote you. It'll bring you and help you to stand before kings, Proverbs says. And that's true. If you are faithful in little things and do it well, then God, in his time, will promote you to do bigger things and be a blessing to many more. You study this. People say, this guy's a big shot. There are no big shots in God's kingdom. It's only little shots who keep shooting. You've got to be faithful. So along with this whole understanding, you need first and foremost wisdom. Daniel's skills were based on his wisdom. I don't have to tell you this. Knowledge you can get from any downloading stuff from any computer. James tells you wisdom comes from where? From above. And he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. That's the word for prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. And let me ask you, and maybe mention it now in our church. We talk about this. I look, it's a campaign and it's going to end up in a book. But listen, take some time out. When God speaks to us about work, to cultivate this excellent spirit, you can make all these kind of decisions and sign cards and, you know, go on a campaign. It's not going to work. You've got to get alone with God and let him deal with your heart. Daniel did that. He was a man of prayer 3 times, unashamedly. He would get with his God. Ask God for wisdom. Why? Because you and I cannot excel. This is the spirit of God, which is the spirit of excellence. We need God to work. He's with us. Make sure you not just take him to work, you allow him to work in and through you. That's how we develop a spirit of excellence. Well, following that spirit of excellence, you need skills, wisdom. Number three, you need dedication. Dedication. I like to say dogged determination. To keep on keeping on is dedication. I love that section. I wish I could have time to exegete that. Daniel chapter 6 is one of my favorite sections where Daniel distinguished himself, here's the word, above and beyond. Above all those other governors and satraps, he was excellent. You know why? Because he did things above and beyond. Write this down. It's not in your notes. But one of the things that helped me to excel, if at all I'm excelled in anything, particularly in academics, I'm a street kid in South India. My mother borrowed money to put me in a school. She died in debt. because she wanted me to get educated. She's dead now, but she's probably turning in her grave if she finds out I'm the professor for theology and global studies in the largest Christian university on the planet. How did that happen? Well, my mom and dad told me this. Just, you know, many of us say, well, I'm working very, very hard. My mom was illiterate. She couldn't read or write much. But she made sure that I sat down and read. And I said, Mom, I did read. She said, no, you haven't read. I said, Mom, how do you know I haven't read? You couldn't read. And she said, well, you haven't spent enough time. That means you haven't read it. I mean, she just made sure she timed me to study. My dad told me something I'll never forget. You know, a lot of all of us work very hard, isn't it? Maybe you're here in church and you're without a job and you say, I'm trying my very best. What do you do when your best is not good enough? Have you felt like that? You're doing your very best and it's not good enough. You're working hard. Some of you are putting long hours, time. You work hard, you work long. Here's the secret. It's not just about working hard and long. It's working right and working smart. That's what helped me to be excellent in my stuff, to earn 2 masters and 3 doctorates. You know how I did that? Listen to the second half of my parents. Everybody works hard and long. Few people work right and smart. And there's a big difference. I think excellence falls in the latter category, not just working hard and long. Oh, I don't know, I just don't have a breakthrough. You're stupid. It's like 2 guys cutting a tree. They stand on a tree and they go, hack, 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 hack. And one guy suddenly realizes, you know what? This cutting is not going to fell the tree soon. So you know what he does? He takes time up and goes and sharpens his axe. He finds a notch and he keeps hitting at that notch. While the other guy is hammering everywhere, this guy is hitting at that notch constantly with a sharp. Who will fell the tree first? The guy who works smart and right. See what I'm saying? And I advise my students, say, oh, Dr. G, we studied all night and we got a B minus. I said, the problem is not that you didn't study and study hard and long. You didn't study smart and right. You didn't find out how to study in a way that you can get the grade. I think excellence falls in this latter. I wish people told me earlier what my father told me in many areas. Daniel was dedicated and finally he was faithful. He kept on keeping on. He hacked at the same spot. You know, I admire people like Pastor Steve. I mean, I don't know how many years he's in this church. I mean, it's a long run, isn't it? I like long distance runners. Even in my own journey, I must confess, there are times I wondered, should I be doing that? Should I be doing this? And 2 years ago, God dealt with my heart and said, Nanakin, time out. Is that what I created for? You're a pastor teacher. Why are you doing this, this, and everything else? Again, I don't know why I'm talking about my wife so much today. You know, Dorothy, I come back, I get this wonderful plan. I say, Dorothy, you know what? I think I'm going to do this. I got a breakthrough. What do you think, Dorothy? You think I can do this? She looks at me, yeah, I know you can do this. Ah, thank you, dear. And she says, well, what are you going to give up in order to do this? I said, what do you mean? She says, you're putting this on your plate. What are you taking out from your plate? Because you are limited to time and space and matter and energy, right? So if you just keep on doing everything, you're going to fail in everything. You've got to be not a, you know, a master. You've got to be a jack of all trades. You've got to be a master in something. So if you're a pastor teacher, do that, Nanakin. Do it well. You want to be outreach to Asian nationals? Stop going to Africa. That was a pain. You know, I loved Africa. But I told God and my wife, you know what, I'm going to focus on Asia. I'm glad I did. I'm where I am because I focused. I was dedicated to reach Asians. Now, not that South Americans are not important, but all of us are limited. There's only so much we can do if you're going to excel. You've got to choose what you're going to do and do it well. Daniel knew what he's going to do. He was there. He was in a governing position. He was there for Yahweh. And he said, you know what? I'm going to stick to this. I wonder if God's speaking to you about excellence, because excellence involves dedication and faithfulness. What do you expect? Well, number three, two things you can expect. You can expect opposition and you can expect reward. First of all, remember, we live in a corrupt and cutthroat world. But I want to make two statements if you're a Christian worker. It's not in your notes. You better write this down. Let me tell you two things about being a Christian worker. I worked for almost 30 years as a Christian worker, from Youth for Christ clubs in my college days to directing and teaching at an international level. And I want to tell you something about being a Christian worker, being a Daniel. Number one, remember, God is for you, but it's not all about you. It's about Him. If you're going to be a Christian worker, you will have opposition. Because you're moving, right? You're moving. And wherever there is motion, there will be what? Friction. So the first thing I want to say is the gospel is subversive. It will turn things on its head. The first shall be last. You want to be great, you got to be the what? Servant of all. That's against the world. So the second thing I want to say is not only the gospel is subversive, Christianity is a counterculture. You will go against the normal grain of this world. How do you differentiate a living fish from a dead fish? Dead fish floats on its stomach along with the current. A living fish swims against the current, right? If you're going to be a Daniel, you got to swim against the world. Where everybody is sleeping and partying, you should be staying up and studying. When everybody says, well, everyone has drinking and doing this. I mean, everybody, well, you need to stand up and say, I'm not going to do this. Your true character comes out when there's nothing for you to do. What do you do when you have leisure? Tells you a lot about who you are. How do you spend the time that you have nothing to do? What do you do when you have nothing to do? That's very interesting. That's where your dedication, that's where your faithfulness is. So, if you're doing that, number one, you're going to expect jealousy from co-workers. Okay, now we go again. This time we start with the horizontal and then the vertical. You'll have jealousy among your workers. I like that verse. James again tells you. James is a very practical book. He says in 3:16, we all know John 3:16. I think you should memorize James 3:16 for the church. Where there is envy and self-seeking, there's confusion and every evil thing exists. It's very interesting, isn't it? In the midst of doing good works, there's competition, corruption, and cutthroats. There's envy, confusion, evil. And we should expect this. These men looked at Daniel, and they were not happy about him, the way he was promoted, being promoted by God. And they set up a system that would work against Daniel in the area of his faith. I've been putting together something on the book of Acts, and I'm looking at chapter 26, where Agrippa is saying to Paul in his apology, he says, Paul, do you think you can just come here and convince me to become a Christian? I mean, you think it's that easy? And Paul says, listen, not just you, but all around you, all together, how would you guys become Christians? Like me, except you don't need these chains that I'm in. He says, listen, I really long that you understand what this faith is. Be excellent about it. The only other place you find the word Christian out of Antioch and Acts, Luke, is Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter says, listen, if any of you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. So expect opposition. I often tell my missionaries, the doors of opportunity swing on hinges of opposition. Let me say that again. The doors of opportunity swing on hinges of opposition. We should expect that. But not major on that. Look at the last part. We should expect not only jealousy from co-workers, but prosperity from God. Again, I hesitate because a lot of our Christian culture, particularly in the West, is about marketing our ministry. And we talk about this success syndrome. I worry about this success. What is success? Is it based on large numbers? Is it based on the pragmatic, you know, we produce so much and we're successful? I think our scale and the criteria we use to measure success is very different from what God uses to measure success. I think God counts us in terms of our faithfulness and how well we do something. When we appear Jesus, he's not going to say, "Hey, great job, successful servant." Is that what he's saying? He would say, "Well done, my good or excellent and what? Faithful servant." There's something about faithfulness that produces fruit, that abides, that remains. Success sometimes gives us a lot of outcomes and they dwindle down. Quick money quickly comes, quickly goes. But there's something about faithfulness that endures forever. So we've got to excel. So here's what I want to leave you with as we encourage to take God at work. It's a simple statement and maybe has four components to it. Would you resolve this morning to do what you can? Move away from the slough of despondency, from apathy, from being complacent, from this mediocrity. Mediocrity is the opposite of excellence. It's that shoddy, get it behind you, you know, do something. Let it be excellent, above and beyond. Try to outdo yourself from what you last did. What do we do? Number one, do what you can. Do what you can. I can deal with sinful people, with all kinds of problems, with drugs and all that pornography stuff, but I can't deal with lazy people. I find it very difficult. Maybe I'm a workaholic, so maybe that's why. But I don't like people who are lazy, who don't want to do anything for themselves or don't want to do what God wants them to do. It's hard. We need to do what we can. You say, "I can't do that." Well, what can you do? What's in your hand? Do it with all your might. So number one, do what you can. Secondly, do all what you can. Don't pick and cherry pick and choose and say, "I think I like this. I'm going." Some of the things we do, we don't like to do. But you know what? That's our job. Most of us are doing 50 or maybe 60 or maybe 95% of things we don't like to do in order to do that 50 or 5% that we do like to do. So do what you can. Do all what you can. Third, do all what you can well. Well. Do it well, with excellence. Let excellence characterize our job. You don't believe what I'm saying? Believe me for my works. Jesus said that. Can you say that? Wow, what a testimony our work is. So do what you can, do all what you can, do all what you can well. And here it is. Do all what you can well and now. Don't procrastinate. Procrastination is the thief of time. Many of us never break through because we postpone. Maybe someday. Tomorrow I'm going to start losing weight. You know, next week I'm going to meet with this person. Maybe after Christmas our house will be clean. Maybe next year, my New Year stop procrastinating. Do what you can, do all what you can, do all what you can well, and do it now. And may I add, always do it for God's glory. Shall we pray? Father God, we are thankful for work and help us to move out of mediocrity and to adopt excellence in our work so that people will see our light shining and know that we have a Father who is the creator of all the lights. You created this world and said it was good. May we, as your new creation, show this world what excellence is all about. If it's Christian, let it be better. For Jesus' name's sake.